You're listening to Rust Belt Running. I'm Adam Wheeler. You can find me on social media at Wheels Up in CLE, joined by Andrew Hettinger, who you can find on social media at Andrew Runs a Lot, and Matt Martin, who you can find on social media at Matt Mart Run. If you want to follow all of us, there you'll go to Rust Belt Running.
Instead of starting you off with a bunch of ads, we're going to start you off with different ways that you can support Rust Belt Running. First is run coaching. Adam, why don't you tell us about it?
It's personalized run coaching. It takes into account the schedule that you have to get your runs in, the goals that you have, as well as the base that you come to us with. You talk to us about what it is you want to be doing, the time that you have to do it, and we come up with a personalized plan that fits your needs, works on you towards your goals, and helps provide a bird's eye view on your training to make sure that you don't plateau, to make sure that you're doing the correct training that's appropriate for you, and to get you showing up on race day confident that you're going to be ready to hit your race goals.
We all know running in groups can be more fun than running alone, and your training can be the same way. So grab a couple of your closest running friends and we can train your group of up to five friends together. With a personalized group plan, you can get the camaraderie of being on a team, but the personalization to fit your group's needs, similar to our individual training. Click on the RBR Teams link on our website and go smash some PRs with your friends.
And if you're looking for other ways to support the show, go to rustbeltrunning.com. There you can find different merch, t-shirts, bags, all kinds of things. All of that helps support us and helps us keep bringing you new stuff on our social media platforms, to the podcast, to our training programs. There's more than one way to support our show. So this helps us keep the show ad-free, keep us from making you go to a Patreon to subscribe for stuff. We want to keep it free. But yeah, go to rustbeltrunning.com, support the show, sign up for coaching. We'd love to have you.
Gentlemen, good to see the two of you. Andrew, give me a highlight or two from your past week.
So I love avocados, right?
Okay.
And I was at the store on Friday. I was already planning for my post long run breakfast. I went to the store knowing what I was going to want after my long run on Saturday. And I turned around at the checkout and there was, like, you know how you have those little end cap coolers, and I saw where, like, the pre-made guacamole was. They make guacamole in a squeeze tube now. It is a real thing, and it is the greatest invention ever. My life is changed.
That probably keeps it from oxidizing, right?
And I looked at the ingredients. I was like, this is too good to be true. It's going to be loaded with preservatives and all this stuff. It's not. It's like the ingredients are basically like avocado, peppers, salt. There's like one thing to preserve the green color.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask.
And I can't remember what it is, but it's supposed to be good for 14 days.
Okay, that's legit.
Yeah. And it tastes good. And I feel like it's actually, you don't waste any. Because, like, if you cut open an avocado, you're using the entire avocado.
Right.
Like, you can try to save half of it, but you have to use it in the next, like, 12 hours or it's going to be garbage. Like this, I don't have to use an entire avocado. I can just, put a little bit on my eggs. Or tonight I made one of Megan Featherston's. She came out with her fajita bake. And I know I do too.
Hello, Instagram.
But yeah, so I made that and threw that squeeze tube guacamole. It's so good. I forget what it's called, but you guys should look for it. It's amazing. Matt, you kind of nodded your head like you knew what I was talking about.
I've seen it before, but I was going to ask you, does this mean you're going to just put guacamole on everything?
I mean, I pretty much put avocado on everything as it was. And I've always been, like, good with, like, plain avocado. You know, I'll just, like – I mean, I read that somewhere in the world they have genetically modified an avocado that you can eat like an apple. And I'm like, man, that scientist knows my needs. But it's not – I don't think they're in the States. But, no, I love avocados. So – yeah, no, I'll put it on pretty much everything. I already did. So, yeah, be on the lookout for that stuff. Matt, what do you got from this past week? What's good?
Another fun local event in Project Outrun put on by Andy and Courtney, which I was just thinking the other day. I'm like, I don't know if this is normal, but I feel like we have a lot of really fun events in this area.
Yeah.
Like running events. You know, every city probably has, you know, tons of races here and there. But I feel like we're just extremely lucky with some really fun events, some really great times. Like this one was awesome. Not only can you run a race and your kids can run a race, but then the kids get to play on a bunch of toys set up in a field and, you know, get their face painted and get their hair sprayed and all to support a good cause. So that was definitely a fun weekend this past weekend.
Dude, you didn't even have to race. Like I went up, I didn't do anything. And, you know, we had fun. I thought it was a really good time, and to get to see, you know, I mean, I've gotten to know Courtney over the last year. I didn't know her crazy well. We're talking Courtney Rugaber, who we had her on back in January to talk about Project Outrun and this very event. But to get to see it in action, which I didn't get to see last year, was awesome. And you know, got to know Andy through the 2023 Eagle Up 8-man championship team, the Wolfpack. I got to know him and, you know, to see him and what he does and see him in that element was that was awesome. Like, he's the same dude. It's just he cares. He cares about what he's doing with that organization. And, yeah, it's just awesome. Y'all tripping.
Yeah, I think Akron has just a very vibrant running crowd in general, and then you add just how supportive the community at large is of it. And I think that like is how you get some of those events like you described, Matt. Like, it's not just hardcore serious runners; it's just a lot of people who I think love the community concept around running, and people who use running not just for the sake of going out there and running fast races, but for reaching out into the community with it. And Saturday's event is a perfect example of that.
Right. I mean, I would say probably 99% of those people there, you know, weren't there to race a 5K or, you know, try to get a PR in a race, but they're just there to support a good cause and, mm-hmm. and have a good time.
What place did you finish, Matt?
Well, I did finish first. you know, I told myself I was going to run an easy 7:30 pace, and you know, I knew that was not going to happen as soon as I put on the racing shoes. Well, I don't even know why I brought them.
We know why you brought them.
I love how that whole thing just happened. You're like, you know, not everybody's going to, you know, win or PR a 5K.
It's like, and then Matt goes out and wins a 5K.
I mean, big time negative splits too.
Yeah. The Adam Wheeler racing plan.
Yeah. Although Adam, you didn't really follow your typical plan.
No.
You had a race as well. So what's good with you? Like you had a fun weekend.
I love that we just had the conversation about how when you go to a local race and you look around and you're looking for specific people, because if you see them, you automatically know, like, oh, that's one spot further down that I'm going to finish. So yeah, I ran the Towpath 10 miler Friday evening and showed up, and you know, I get to the start line and I'm looking around and just kind of like eyeballing. It was funny. There was one dude who was lined up. You know how like nobody wants to go to the very front of the start line? Everybody like kind of like hangs back until right before they ring the bell. Well, there was one guy who was feeling confident. He's right there at the start line. I look over and he's got a 2 liter of Mountain Dew that he's just sipping out of. Like, he's just going to carry a Mountain Dew with him.
That's fuel. Awesome.
Yes. But I'm looking around and I'm like, you know, like, that guy look over there looks like he could be serious. He might be legitimate. And that guy looks like he might be. But there's nobody that I see here that I know is just going to, like, wipe the floor with me. We'll see how this goes. And at the last second, I turn around and I look over my shoulder and Ryan McCartney is there. Like, well, okay, so Ryan's going to win this race. I'm definitely not beating him. Yeah. I don't think I've ever actually raced against Ryan. We've been in a lot of the same places, but, like, never at a small community event together. And dude, that guy is ridiculously fast and makes it just look so effortless. Like, as I watched him fade into the distance, it was like, man,
yeah,
he's really fast. And it doesn't look like he's working at all. He ended up winning found out afterwards that he ended up winning like 2 weeks after he got snipped. So he used that to blame for his fate at the end. Oh, but no, it was really good. I had Matt, your voice in the back of my mind instead of cruising to my early start. The first mile is like a straight downhill. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to use the downhill to kind of pull me into a race effort and just kind of see where I go after that. So I ran like a flat 6 or a 6:01 for my first mile. And you got to go up a hill and then down another pretty steep hill. And then it kind of flattens out for the next 3 miles. And just kind of like got into that rhythm and just decided basically to hang on and felt myself kind of cruising a couple of times. And every time I did, I'm like, no, Matt would be telling me to push it a little bit to stop cruising. And I did that, and I hung on to that pace right up until the last mile. That mile climb for the last mile was rough, and at that point, I knew I had third place locked up, so I did go ahead and cruise in for that. But I finished third and had a really, really good time, and my mom got back out and raced, too, and had a really good time. She did a 5K, so she had a really good time, too, which is it's a race that she and I both love to do. It's a nice little Friday night, and then you get to go and hang out in Tremont. The whole reason they moved that race into Tremont when they added that section of the towpath was to really get people out and about in the community because there's a ton of restaurants there. So it's really cool. I'm not a huge fan of evening races because I take a while to wind down after a race, and I don't really think I slept very well that night because of it. But it's still cool to get out to race and then get out into the community and just kind of enjoy a night out. So it was a good time.
Yeah, so one of our athletes, Katie, had messaged us that day. She did a very Katie thing where she didn't want to tell anybody she was going to run a race till the last second. Yes, so yeah, I had to put a note on her long run next week. I was like, please don't sign up for any races. But she said she was just cheering everybody on and being like, you know, just hype for everybody. Ryan McCartney even mentioned it to me. That she was cheering him at the turn, and I love it. She's awesome. She's a trip. I'm glad she was there, and you know, to be able to yell at you at one point too.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's good stuff. I did tell Ryan, I was like, dude, that's a lot of gray hair on that podium.
No, the second place guy was pretty gray haired. The
Really?
Fifth place guy was. It was an older crowd there in the top ten.
Lots of salt and pepper.
A lot of gray beards.
Because yeah, I mean Ryan, he's very gray now. I don't know if it's the newborn that they got or what, but yeah. So this week we all had our own running events. We got another race coming up down here in Canton on July 15th, the women's 6K, the USATF Women's 6K National Championships, and that's what this episode's really about. So we had Tina Ree from the race come on. She's a race director and also the track and field and cross country coach at Malone University here in Canton. And she came on, she talked a lot about the race, but you know, one thing I really loved is we talked a little bit about her journey coming back from some pretty serious health issues that she had last year. And she goes a little bit into her history as a runner at Malone. She was a very, very talented runner when she raced at Malone and at Central Catholic right down the street from me. But she had some health issues and she had to come. She's having to like try to come back, and she's working with us. I'm working with her to try to get her back to maybe not that condition, but just to enjoy running again. And you know, that's that was something that, you know, to kind of look out for with her in this conversation, is she talks about like just getting to enjoy running again. You know, going from where you're hyper focused all the time on goals and being an elite runner to just enjoying it. So, listen for that. She gets real, real. And I loved that part of it. Matt, was there anything, that she had that stuck out to you?
Yeah, I just love that she shared that story and, you know, her journey coming back to running. And I think it's a good message to all runners, you know, whether they're coming back from an injury or a health issue, or even just, you know, mentally burnt out from running, you know, from training for marathons or whatever race they're training for. It's a good theme to just, you know, when you go out that door, you know, remember that this is something that you get to do. It's not something that you have to do. And, you know, just getting out the door and enjoying, you know, the steps that you get to take is, you know, most important out of anything.
How about you, Adam? What do you got?
I won't spoil what she said, USATF said about the event, but it's very much worth keeping an ear out for to get to when she talks about what USATF has had to say about the event, because I know the three of us all think about like how Northeast Ohio kind of gets overlooked. This is, you know, it's a flyover state and not many people care about, you know, little towns. And you know, I'm not from Canton, Andrew, obviously, but I know you really get hyped about Canton and about how people really overlook it. And I thought it was really cool that you just brought up the sort of the rave reviews USATF has had about the race.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And we're really excited for it. We're all three going to be down there on July 15th. You can find out more about the race at womens6k.com and follow them on social media where they're very active. So you can get more information down the road there, but you can get a lot of information right now by just sticking around and listening to this conversation with race director from the Women's 6K and head coach at Malone University, Tina Ree.
Tina, thanks for joining us today. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. How are you guys doing?
I'm good.
I just keep hitting record at the wrong time and not doing everything I'm supposed to do. So, but other than that, I'm great. And we have Matt Martin doing his first conversation with a guest with us. So,
yeah, and I'm excited. My wife actually ran the women's 6K last year, so she's excited.
Oh,
for this
she
year
did.
Again. She was probably one of your first registrants this year because she was pretty excited when registration opened up.
She ran really good last year.
That is what I love to hear. Really? Oh, I love to hear that. I actually just went, I got back from Canton Second Souls Ladies Night. It was really successful, by the way. There was a lot of women there. And people came up to me and were like, your race is like my favorite race. And that's like exactly what every race director wants to hear. Yeah. So I love that, Matt. I'm so glad we'll have her. What's her name?
Her name's Steffi Martin.
Steffi Martin. All right. I'm going to look for her now race day.
What?
All right, perfect.
What place did she finish last year, Matt? She was on the stage. I remember that.
Yeah, I believe she was top 10, but I can't remember exactly what place she got. All I know is she had a really nice kick at the end.
All right.
That's stuff he always
does. Every coach's dream.
So speaking of coaching, you're one of our athletes, and so I get the pleasure of coaching you. You're also the coach at Malone University for cross country and track.
Yes.
We talked about that a lot the last time we had you on. I do want to talk a little bit about your running journey, but I want to highlight that the last year has been kind of a struggle for you. You had a lot physically going on and had to take an extended break. So what's that kind of like, you know, before we start talking about the race, what's it like going from being a college stud to somebody who has to take an extended break? But you're forced into it. It's not just you were starting to get your mojo back in June of last year. We were throwing down some real good workouts, and then it came to a screeching halt real fast.
Yeah, that's a great question. It definitely was a transition, and definitely almost an identity crisis a little bit when you're so used to being at a certain caliber with running and then you're not. And that's exactly what that was. Just 3 years ago, I was starting to have some minor issues. And, you know, as runners, we ignore a lot of pain. We're also taught like just push through the pain. And so a lot of it, I think, was years and years of mental toughness, which is great, but also really not finding the signals when it's actually something more than just the aches of a hard workout. It's something serious. And so I think I'm starting to actually know what those signs are now. And, but it was hard. I'm not going to dismiss my emotional state. Super hard. For the first time I had body image issues. I've never had body image issues. And that's a huge deal in the running world, especially being a female distance runner, is, you know, a lot of young ladies sometimes have those even when they're really fit. And, but mine came after I had a stop and my body was changing. And so there's just a lot of layers to that break. So I appreciate you asking, because oftentimes people just ask me, oh, are you training for something? And that's been really triggering for me. So.
Well, it was wild, you know, as you got the okay to come back to program and just short, slow workouts for you, and like doing it by time too.
Yes. I mean, it's been an adjustment. I want to highlight all of you for being awesome coaches. And I'm not just saying that. You guys really helped me, and you were patient with, you know, where I was at. I took a break. I didn't even want to train. And then here I am back. And today was the first run. How exciting. Super slow, but enjoyed it. And that's, it is. So, yes.
You mentioned having kind of like an identity issue with your running. As you've started transition back to it, has your identity as a runner and your relationship with running changed at all over the last year?
Yes. And I think I'm going to be a little more specific too with my journey, if that's okay, sharing my story of what happened.
Because I'm absolutely
sure people are going to want to know what stopped. But my perspective completely has changed. I've figured out that, you know, I'm not Tina, you know, the runner. I'm Tina who enjoys running. And so that's been like a huge separation. But also a road I've had to navigate and figure out at the age, you know, 31, 32. But it's completely different now. But I think for the better, completely, right? And you'll see that a lot with really great standout collegiate runners, you know, always on top or always used to running at a certain caliber. And then sometimes they quit, whether it's going into their profession or, you know, getting married, having kids, and they still go through that change of like, oh, I'm not a collegiate runner anymore. But for me, my story, my goodness, I'm sorry. I'm really choppy right now. For me, my story, I had a seizure a year from yesterday, which is kind of crazy and absurd. I messaged Andrew today after my run. I said, I had my seizure after my amazing long run, by the way. It was freaking amazing. I felt great. Mm-hmm. And then 30 minutes later, I had that episode. But exactly, you know, full circle, a year from yesterday is when I had it. And it completely shut me down. I lost function on my left side. It was very, very scary. My speech was off, and having all these issues, essentially trying to figure out everything. But leading up to that seizure, I had migraines for like 3 years on that same side, where that seizure happened. And so it's just kind of crazy. Like, I just ignored these issues for 3 years and then something happened. And what's crazy about this health journey of mine and being out from running and trying to figure it out is, yeah, you just go through this rabbit hole of questions with yourself of, oh my gosh, like, am I even worth being a collegiate coach? Like, and it's crazy to think about that, but that's where my mind went. Like, am I worthy to coach these athletes? Am I worthy to put on a USA track and field event? Because, oh, I can't do this anymore. And so there's a lot of like doubt, self-doubt you have with yourself. And I had to get through that. But I think the best thing is I had to answer those questions authentically and honestly of where I was at in order for me to move forward. And that's exactly what I had to do. And I mean, it took up to a year to finally be like, you know what? I'm going to start just consistently running again. And I'm clear. My first priority was health, right? That's focused on health, which I have not done, I don't know if ever in my life, which is kind of crazy to think about. I was a caliber athlete and I didn't put my health first. My mental and physical health had to come first. Yeah. It was a no-brainer at that point. But once I got that settled and even the mental state of it, finally I can see myself of who I am. I am a passionate person. I'm not just someone that is passionate about running for myself. I love coaching. I love inspiring young athletes, specifically young ladies and women. And even if I'm not able to produce these fast times anymore or be at that caliber, like, that's okay. That's not gonna dismiss my ability to do what I need to do as, you know, for my livelihood and my profession.
Do you have now, is the goal right now just simply to get back to running and enjoy it? Do you have your sights set on anything goal related in terms of times, like down the road? Or is it really right now just about get out running and just enjoy it right now?
Right now, it's really just about going out there and running. That's really my main focus, is just enjoying it and not making it a job. I think we all go through those ruts of running where it's like, you're just doing it because you, like, you're saying to yourself, oh, I have to run. But instead, I've been rephrasing it in my brain is, I get to run today. I get to run. Mm-hmm. How awesome is that? And so that's really just the goal. And Andrew and I talked about that from the beginning, is I'm not putting any races on the calendar until I have the summer under my feet. And then once the summer is under my feet, maybe we can start talking about some, you know, random 5Ks or a 10K or whatever it is. But truthfully, it's really just about enjoying the journey again and joining training. I always loved that. That was my favorite part of competing, was the just training. Yeah. You know, you put so many hours of training in. It's the best part. Like, a really great long run is like, that's the best part.
Yeah, I mean, I think most runners, you know, if they experience, you know, an injury or a health issue and they have to take time off, it just helps you, you know, when you do actually get back, you know, I think you start to appreciate just getting out the door versus just, you know, focused on training or focused on your watch, your paces and things like that. So I think that's a good way to approach it. Just kind of go out, you know, go out, get out the door and just kind of enjoy what you can do.
Absolutely. And it's so interesting you said that, because I tell my athletes that it's like, don't worry about your watch. Summer is all about getting the miles in and just enjoying the fact that you're running. And my husband actually challenged me. He's like, what if you were talking, like, if you were your athlete, what would you tell yourself? And I was like, oh my gosh, like, game changer. I would be telling them, girl, you're good. You know, I'd be telling myself something different. And so that's been a huge game changer of, like, how would you speak to yourself if you were your athlete? And so exactly, I tell them to go enjoy it, get out the door and just be free. Let it be a time where it's just you and yourself. And that really is what running was for me in the beginning, in the years where I was enjoying it, is it's just a time for me to be free from all the chaos in the world or wherever I was at in life. And I'm so grateful for the time I had away from it so that I can actually go back to the root of why I started running, which was this feeling of freedom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think you hit something huge when you said you're not Tina the runner, but Tina who enjoys running, which kind of goes into all this we're talking about. Mm-hmm. I've been where I've been too focused on a goal. And I know a lot of people are that way. I mean, Boston is a unicorn for everybody. Everybody wants to get to Boston, and you get so focused on it that you almost forget to enjoy running. And you almost need running to be taken away from you to remember to enjoy it. You know, that's why we do it. We do it because it's, you know, we feel better and it's enjoyable. It brings us joy. And if you forget that part of it, it sucks. And you're probably not going to hit your goals anyways, because you just go run yourself into the ground and you're going to hate your life. And you're going to hate the whole process, and then you're never going to pick it up again. To be in the spot where you're at, I love that. I love that you've been able to, you know, kind of change those tracks in your head to, going from the, I have to run to the, I get to run. The amount of times Adam and I have said that,
yep.
And we stole it. We didn't create it or anything, but
right.
it's everybody, it's relevant and useful for everyone. So, I do want to transition to the biggest reason we brought you here. I want to thank you for being, you know, open and vulnerable and talking about that journey, but we did bring you on to promote, you're going to be bringing a lot of amazing people to just about 3 miles from my house to Canton, Ohio. And I'm going to be in that designated outdoor recreation area with tons of champagne. If anybody needs to know, the Rite Aid
mimosas
will be had. There is a Rite Aid across the street from Centennial Plaza that sells champagne and orange juice. So if you don't pack enough, or if too many friends come around, we can go get more. Don't worry. There's plenty more mimosas
Andrew
to be had.
And it's Adam perfectly legal. And Matt are your guys. Go find them.
Yes, I'll be there.
I will be doing my long run on Friday night so that I can enjoy that. So the women's 6K. Tell us a little bit about why this even started. I know the distance is special. You've explained it on this podcast before, but I'd love to hear it again.
Yes. Yes. No, thanks for asking. So I want to take you back like 8 years ago. I was not living in Ohio. I'm born and raised in Stark County, by the way, from Canton area. Went to Canton Central Catholic, went to Malone. So I've been in Canton most of my life. Well, I decided to move out west, and I was living in Colorado at the time, and I was working this corporate job that was just god awful. Like, I was looking for ways to get out of it, but for some reason, right, I was in this place in life where I felt like I was stuck. I don't know why. I just felt like I owed this company my life. It was crazy. Right. And so that's where I was at, and I was not, you know, I wasn't at all in reach of the running world. I was running, but I wasn't even doing road races, but I was running. And I started turning the wheels in my head of what would it look like if I were to re-enter that running world? And then the daydreaming occurred, you know, when you're at a job and you hate it and your brain is everywhere else but your work. That's what was happening almost every day since then. And then I really just summed up that if I was going to do anything, it was going to be something big. Mm-hmm. And so I first was like, oh, maybe it'll be a run across Ohio, and it'll be about worth and self-worth, and I'll document it. And so I was kind of creating this run across Ohio idea. And then I started thinking about it more. I'm like, no, that just sounds like too much work. And so then I started narrowing it down. It really did. I was like, I'm good.
We know somebody who did that. So
you do.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Ryan Pullen.
Wait, did one of you guys do that?
No, no.
Okay.
No.
Don't tempt Matt. He probably will.
Yeah, Matt might do it.
Matt, run across Ohio?
You know, it's never crossed my mind, but I won't say no.
Okay. Okay, so you guys know someone that did.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, no, we've had somebody on this podcast who did it.
Brian Pullen, he was the former race director at the Akron Marathon, and now I think he owns and runs Mid-Ohio Race Management and the Vertical Runner in Worcester. He did it a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And it took him, I want to say it took him just under 72 hours. Is that, am I right on that number?
Oh, I don't remember. It's been, was that during COVID, I think?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Okay. So
that sounds right though.
Well, there you go. Someone did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I obviously did not go that route. But I wanted this idea of worth, of self-worth and empowerment. And then I was like, ooh, it'd be really cool to like focus more on like little ladies and women and girls. And so I started narrowing my idea down of that platform, maybe like an all women's event. And so I put that on a shelf, daydreamed about it for quite some time, eventually quit that job. And I moved back to Ohio. I was asked to be the assistant coach at Malone. So I took that up. And long story short, I was finally back in the realm of running. And I was, you know, I feel like when you re-enter the world of running, like there's so many possibilities now, like networking is just all over the place. And that's really what happened that same fall, my first year as an assistant coach, Jim Chaney contacted me and asked me to join his Run to You racing team. And I was like, oh, this could be a thing. And so I joined that, learned a lot from him. And then he came to me, my goodness, what, 4 years ago, and was like, what are your thoughts on if you were to like really pioneer like an all women's race? I was like, oh my gosh, here it is. Here's my opportunity. And so that's really what came about. It was this kind of, you know, idea that I daydreamed about at my old awful job. Now there was an opportunity to open up, you know, that box that I put on a shelf for a couple of years and really talk about it and make it happen. And originally Jim was like, oh, what about a 5K? I was like, whoa, no, let's make it a 6K. And Jim was very intrigued by a 6K. He never heard of like the distance 6K. And I said, the reason why I would say 6K, it kind of represents women and women collegiate sports. You know, NCAA from Division 1, 2, and 3, our championship distance in cross country is a 6K. And a lot of people don't know that, but this could be like our edge. This could be our uniqueness of this race. And so he loved the idea. And then we saw an opportunity with USA Track and Field where they never, ever had a 6K championship event road race. And so we really created the race for USA Track and Field and we put in a bid. We really weren't thinking they'd love it, but they loved it. And called us up and we're like, we want to do this. And that's really where it came to be. What's been really rewarding about this is Jim and I were actually just in a USA Track and Field meeting last week. And the amount of love they gave us or have been given us has been really humbling. They said, you have brought us so much value. And I'm like, I have.
Oh, that's cool.
We have. So they just love our event. They actually said it was their favorite out of last year's road racing circuit event. And I thought that was a huge compliment. And so, yeah, I mean, what?
It is in Canton. Crazy. I mean, it's a no-brainer. I mean, that's why.
Oh, that's why. Yeah, Canton, Ohio. Mm-hmm. Well, they love that Midwest feel. You know, we're all about, showing hospitality. And I know the elites feel that. They just feel the warmth. Mm-hmm. It's not, we're not cold, you know, we're not completely structured and these, you know, top of the line road racers. And we're serious, but we're funny and we're lighthearted. And we really just want to show them a great time in our hometown. And like I said, those elites feel it and those women feel it. And they love the small touches of the custom bibs that said empowerment. I think a lot of them blew up our Instagram last year of like how cute that was. And it's just really been really cool to see those top of the line elites, you know, some of the best in the world, give us a shout out.
Kira D'Amato, she had the moment last year. She was at the time the American marathon record holder, which has since been dethroned by M. Sisson. But she won last year, came in second to, or second place was Alefine Tuilyamuck.
Annie Rodenfels. Yeah, Annie Rodenfels was second by 2 seconds, and then Alefine was third.
2 seconds. Yeah.
Jeez. I know, it's crazy.
That's right, because she chased her down right at the end. It, when they run around the corner from Cleveland to Tusk, I think Alefine was in second, but yeah, she got her. So
As y'all announced the top three at the finish, and they had the American flags and kind of ran up and down. Kara was just, she was the biggest hype man around, pumping everybody up in Canton. Just very, you could just see how grateful she was and how excited she was to be on our streets. And, you know, for a town that gets a lot of grief and, you know, kind of the butt of a lot of jokes, you know, we've had the best runners in the States come here and have a good time and show their support and love for our city. Mm-hmm. And that's, that's pretty freaking amazing. And, you know, I really enjoyed it. So you had that cast of, you know, just badass ladies last year. You had some pretty big announcements in the last week or so about some people who are coming here, and I really tried to get you to bring one of them on tonight with you.
You really pushed for her. Yeah. I mean, I don't blame you. I mean, yes, Molly is coming. Molly Seidel. You know what's funny is I was sitting exactly where I'm sitting now at night, and I was doing some work, and a email popped up, and it says, you know, the username or the email is like Molly Seidel. I'm like, oh! And I open, right? Like, it's her. It's not her agent. I usually talk with their agents. Uh-huh. Sometimes I don't, but like her, you know, and she's just like, hi, Tina, like just so casual. And I'm just kind of losing it. I'm like, is this spam? Is this for real? Like, I did, bro.
Getting catfished by catfished
a by little a, bit, you know, that goes through my head. Like, wait. And then I realized it was definitely her. And I was sitting on that for a few weeks. And I just had my mouth shut and was really excited about that one. One thing I can tell you, just with that small interaction, she is you've seen her Instagram. She's freaking hilarious. Yeah, I'm like so excited to meet her. I feel like her and I might be friends. I don't know. Maybe I'm just hoping, but she is so freaking hilarious. Down to earth. I think she's going to be a really, really big hit. Obviously, it's already been a hit. In our community. I know our registration went through the roof that evening, which I was so excited about, but people are really hyped about it, as they should be.
One of our athletes from Pittsburgh is coming up, and I'm super, super excited. Yeah, really?
That makes me very happy.
We started putting plans in motion. I mean, the night you guys announced, she was super pumped, and I was like, you got to come up. So
another one of our athletes. So there's the famous full turkey suit that Molly's worn for turkey trots before. Another one of our athletes found basically the summer version of that. So it is a t-shirt. It's a yellow t-shirt with a turkey drawn on the front that says run. And then it's a skirt that basically looks like a bunch of turkey feathers with a turkey face on the front. And she went to Gone for a run and bought this stuff, and she signed up. She's going to be running the open in that. So,
I support it. Well, and Matt, you said your wife did it last year, and she was like one of the first to sign up. So how pumped is she about this news with Molly?
Yeah, when she saw that, she was definitely super pumped. She actually, in last year, I think she either posted something or commented on, you know, the women's 6K Instagram. And I think Kira like replied to her. And so she was like super pumped last year. And then this year, once she saw Molly was going, you know, she's super excited. And I'm super excited because I can actually go and watch this year because the date has changed now. It's no longer the same day as Eagle Up, so I can go down there and spectate.
Yes. That was our biggest hurdle. One, I'm so excited that your wife's doing it and that you can join us, but that was the biggest hurdle last year. Year two, they changed the date, and then I think 2 days after that, I sent Mickey, who works with USA Track and Field, an email of all the reasons why I needed it to go back to July. And they said, okay. And I was like, oh, that's all I needed to do. Great. One Eagle Up. So there's that hurdle. But then, you know, as a collegiate coach, the state track meet was that weekend. Yeah. And so I couldn't be there. And then you have all those young ladies that could potentially be at a race at the state meet. Not that everyone makes it. But it was just a huge fiasco. So I'm very grateful it's back in July.
Speaking of, too, because we had a really good time at Eagle Up, and I don't want to miss the women's 6K. I want to be out there, but we had a winning team out there
a couple
weeks ago. So I didn't want to miss that either.
Very good. Congrats.
And I interrupted.
I was going to say, speaking of young ladies, do you still have open spots for, was it 50 high schoolers that you do free spots for?
Yes. I think I have 15 left now. So young ladies or moms, if you're listening to this and your daughter, even if she is not in high school, if she's young, she can still use the code, but she can sign up for free. There's about 15 spots left using that code. It's capital letters, high school 6K. Utilize that. I mean, that's why we have sponsors, but it's such a great opportunity for young girls, not only to see those elites because they're so awesome, but also just to get that experience under their belts, the 6K, especially if they're considering running in college and doing cross country. They get that experience of that distance.
Going to mention that because, you know, the 6K for, you know, the road runners is not really a common distance. I don't even know how to run a 6K. I'd probably just go like a 5K and just suffer for an extra, you know, 1,000 meters. Any advice on how to race a 6K?
Actually, so when my freshman ladies come in and they're like, coach, how do I run a 6K? You know, they always get doe-eyed when it's their first, when I say it's exactly like a 5K, just race it like a 5K. And that's truthfully what it is. It's not that different. Obviously you're going to have 1K left, but if you approach it the way you do a 5K, you're going to get the best results.
I'm racing a 5K on Saturday. And, the last time I spectated a 5K, I was standing about maybe 200 yards from the finish. And I was watching these people finish, and I was like, this is why I hate this distance. And because it's just, I mean, the pain, it's max suffering. And to do that for a full other 1,000 meters would be tough. I mean, I would probably love it. I mean, I can't lie. It's kind of like the 8K distance. I love that too. You brought up something interesting before we were recording, and I want to go back and touch on it because we're getting close to wrapping up here. But you mentioned how you wanted to push social media more for the people, for like the elites who are coming, especially somebody like Molly, who you said, does she not have an agent, or did you just not speak to her agent?
I'm not sure. But she just, you know, personally reached out herself. I would assume she has an agent, but I genuinely don't have that answer. So I'm not sure if she does or not, but it was really cool that she personally reached out to me, not our coach or agent.
Right. But so like when you were talking about, cause like money is such a big deal in sports, we know that, but especially like more people are talking about it with like, I don't know how much NIL you have to deal with at Malone. You know, people are all invested, I think, a little more in what the money of these sports are. And so like, people are coming here to race, but what's some of what you're like giving them, I guess? And you were talking about, you know, more social media activism and stuff for the people coming to run. But like, what's some of the reasoning behind that?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, our race completely embodies empowerment, specifically women empowerment when it comes to, you know, little ladies. I like to call, you know, girls, little ladies, because they're, you know, going to be ladies one day. So they're little ladies to me, whether it's little ladies or older women, but also the elite group. It goes with them. And really, when I was planning this event, I wanted the elite field to have a prize purse worth their time, right? We live in a world where men get paid more than women. You know, let's not, you know, ignore that big elephant in the room. And so I really wanted to capture these women that work so hard. They're professionals. And that's the reason why our prize purse is pretty generous for a 6K. You know, they're racing, what, 17, 18 minutes and taking home, you know, $6,000 to potentially $7,500 that day. So I personally wanted to do that as well as supporting women, whether it was, you know, again, the open racers to the elite field. And also what that means is showcasing them on our social media. We live in a world where social media is really, right, like the icon of business, truthfully. We're everything, oh, are you on Instagram? Are you on social media? Everyone's on it. And so a lot of these elites, there's, you know, they have a lot of followers. They're trying to gain more followers, or they're promoting maybe a product that they're sponsored by. And so something that makes sense to me is showcasing them on our Instagram. You know, is our followers massive? No, but I think it still gives them, you know, an opportunity to be like, hey, I'm running in this USA track and field race. They're highlighting me. You know, we add them as collaborators, we tag them. And that's just important to me is highlighting them as well. Not just highlighting, you know, the winners or the top three, but highlighting our entire elite field. And so you'll see that throughout, you know, this week to race day is we're going to be highlighting our entire elite field, but also not just the elite field, because I don't want to make it just about the elites, right? The bread and butter of our race is the community. Oh, good. Excuse me. You can edit that part out. The open race. Yeah. Now that I know you can edit things, just edit that out. Just send it over. I'll tell you what to edit out. But our bread and butter is the open community race. And so I'm also grabbing people that did the race and their opinions and highlighting them on why they liked it and highlighting people that are going to do it as well. So Matt, you can let me know if your wife would like to be highlighted, because I really just want to emphasize empowerment and that everyone's welcome. That's what I'm doing.
I'm keeping the dog bark in there.
100%.
That's not going anywhere.
Yes, you hear my dogs barking.
Does one of your dogs only have one eye?
No, but I'll still. Oh, go ahead.
yes, our yellow lab has just one eye, and then my chocolate lab, he has both, but he's a little puppy. So my yellow lab is 10, and so he's super annoyed of a 6-month-year-old puppy. He's just like, leave me alone, and that was Forrest barking. So more than likely, Atlas was bugging him, and he's like, can you just get away from me?
Thanks. I got one eye. I wanna close it and take a nap.
I was happy on my own.
Right.
Exactly. So, but.
Matt, you kind of looked like you wanted to ask something.
Oh, when she was talking about if my wife wanted to be highlighted, I said, she'll probably say no, but I'll still, I'll send you her Instagram handle anyway, or send you a picture or something.
Yes. Well, even if she just wants to give a piece of, this is why I like the Women's 6K, that'd be awesome. But yeah.
Absolutely.
Great.
So the date is?
The date is Saturday, July 15th. 8:00, the elites will shoot off. You'll get to see them sprint, essentially. And then 8:05 is the open race. And then you'll work your way down to Centennial Plaza and then meet Andrew and Adam and Matt down there with mimosas.
Yes.
No, but you'll meet us down there for an awesome festival. We're actually launching all the fun details. We're going 70s. I don't know if you heard that. It's 70s theme. Because 70s was a huge decade for women in sports.
Okay, yeah.
So flower power, you know, disco. We're going to do a costume contest. I'm bringing my Elton John glasses. It's going to be a thing. So
I can't promise that I will do any of that, but I absolutely can promise that I will be at Centennial Plaza. And like, for real, if like you aren't running this, it is just a good time. Like, it really is a fun time. A lot of, I really do hope that it not being Eagle Up weekend helps out like the spectator participation as well. But I mean, the spectators have been really good the last couple of years. So I really hope, and last year, was it last year it was rainy, or was that the year before?
It was the first year it was rainy.
And yeah, so I think if you're not running, come on out and see some really fast women do some really awesome things, and you know, see the payoff for all the work that Tina has put in making this happen. So this is a good race, and you know, we want it to stay around, and I really do love seeing the city of Canton you know, show out this way. I love it.
Thank you.
I really do. So
it's really just been a great opportunity of, yeah, like you said, just showcasing Canton, but also just people coming together and really being happy and encouraging. And it always amazes me. Obviously, it's not just me putting it on. It takes a village. And so I'm incredibly grateful for the village behind me. That includes you as well. And it's been just an awesome thing for people to just come together and make it happen.
So for any ladies looking to sign up or for more information, where should they go?
They will want to go to women6k.com. Super easy, ladies. Women6k.com. You can register. Younger ladies, you can use the code HIGHSCHOOL6K. And also, we have a ton of information on our Instagram page, Women6K, and Facebook page. So we're always shooting off, you know, race information on our social media. But in terms of registration, go to women6k.com, register. People are registering. So, you know, I think we're going to have a full house this year.
Nice.
And I'm going to have a full liver of mimosas, and I can't wait.
Perfect. I'll have one after that with you.
I'm going to hold you to that. So if I come up handing you a Simply Orange bottle, it is definitely half Simply Orange, half champagne. I expect you to toast and enjoy with me.
Perfect.
Or we'll Sounds maybe great. We'll just get some plastic champagne flutes and do it classy.
We will have seltzers at the finish line again.
Okay.
Working through that. So there will be some beverages for those 21 years of age.
So don't try to use that high school code, because you're going to get a big old X on your seltzer tag on your bib. And you don't want that. So I can't wait for July 15th. Tina, I thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
I appreciate you telling us about like your journey back to running too, because it's you know, we just started, but I'm very much looking forward to see where it takes us here in the near future and the distant future. So yeah, really good stuff to share, and I really appreciate you being here. So have fun getting stuff ready over the next couple weeks. I will definitely be down there.
Thank you.
I know Matt will be there. I believe Adam's coming down too. So it's going to be a little bit of an RBR party in the DORA zone. So 100% legal, guys. You can BYOB. It's totally cool. And if you don't, there is a Jersey's downtown that opens as well.
There is. So, yes.
If you want to support them, yeah, you can grab a beer and walk around. So, Tina, thanks so much for joining us. Yeah. And
you're welcome. Thank you.
To everybody listening, feel free to like, subscribe, review us on your favorite podcast platforms. Go to rustbeltrunning.com. There you can find more out about what we offer in coaching and different ways you can support the show outside of that as well. So we can, you know, stay ad-free and keep bringing this to you. So, yeah, until next time, everybody. Enjoy those miles.
See ya. Bye.
I love my log.